It's Wednesday, December 26th, 11 minutes before 8 a.m. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. A Sitka man died after crashing his car on Halibut Point Road around 11 p.m. on Sunday. 22-year-old Lane Marlon Robinson was driving a 1990 Chevrolet Cavalier when he passed a Sitka police officer at high speed on Lake Street. The officer followed Robinson down Lake to Peterson Street and then Edgecombe Drive. Police say Robinson sped off when the officer activated his lights and siren to stop the vehicle at Cascade Creek Road. According to a police state released Monday, the officer lost sight of Robinson's vehicle as it traveled outbound on Halibut Point Road. When the officer came around the corner, he saw that Robinson had crashed into an oncoming SUV. Robinson was pronounced dead at the scene. The driver of the SUV, an 18-year-old woman, was transported to the hospital and released a few hours after the crash. Police are continuing to investigate the incident. Community revitalization is a discussion happening in other southeast towns besides Sitka. In Ketchikan last week, assembly members shot down a proposed revitalization study of Hopkins Alley. Opponents of the idea said it wasn't the government's responsibility to take the lead in cleaning up a blighted neighborhood. KRBD's Layla Carey reports.
With only Assembly Member Bill Rotecki supporting the idea, the project will not move forward, at least not right now. Assembly Member Glenn Thompson was the most vocal opponent. He says property owners in the area should fund the study because they're the beneficiaries. Rotecki argues that the government can help move a blighted neighborhood in the right direction.
There are some things that private enterprise just plain doesn't do. And, you know, one of the things that government can help in is be a coordinator. Ultimately, if something's going to come of this, the private landowners are going to have to jump up and throw their money into it. But I think that we can be the initiators. I think we can be planners.
Thompson says that's an example of socialism.
We should not be spending public funds so that the owner of that blighted property can somehow make it into a nice property that can then competes with the guy next door who doesn't have a blighted property. That's how the market works.
Borough Planning Director Tom Williams says the project has three phases. The first would be exploratory.
The idea is to get the stakeholders together and recognize what improvements need to take place. The stakeholders will include KPU, the city, all the property holders, and the borough. The idea is to talk with everyone, see if they're willing to go forward with phase two, which would be the development of an implementation plan.
William says the first phase likely would cost between $20,000 and $25,000, paid for through the borough's share of state cruise ship head taxes. The remainder of the project would be paid for primarily through a special neighborhood assessment and grants. Property owners have told Williams that they can't invest in their buildings because of problems with the boardwalk and infrastructure. He says the business owners want the city or borough to kickstart the process. Thompson says he agrees something needs to be done.
I don't think that, you know, that this is a bad idea per se in and of on its face. I mean, everybody who drives by that area says, boy, this could be a better place. But it's ultimately going to be up to the folks that live there and are neighbors with each other to get together and decide that they're tired of living in a pigsty.
In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
Downtown revitalization will be the topic of discussion during an upcoming segment of Soundcheck this January on Raven Radio. If you'd like to contribute your ideas to the conversation now, before the program airs, you can leave a comment on our Facebook page or on our website at kcaw.org. The National Rifle Association said last Friday that armed police officers in every school could stop the next killer from, quote, waiting in the wings. The NRA had been silent since the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut, when 26 children and adults were killed at an elementary school. In a news conference, the organization blamed school shootings on video games, violent movies, and Hollywood. NRA CEO Wayne LaPierre said gun control isn't the solution. He said the only thing to stop, quote, a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun, end quote. The gun control question is being raised around the country, and local officials around Southeast Alaska are being asked to hold community conversations. Rosemarie Alexander reports from Juneau.
Mayor Merrill Sanford says he's not likely to call a community meeting to talk about gun control, but the assembly has been asked to consider sponsoring a local discussion or task force on the issue. Douglas resident Mike Peterson told the panel earlier this week that he's been raising this question around town.
Can you have a meaningful conversation or dialogue about gun control?
Peterson says responses have ranged from...
You can't. Just flat out, you cannot have a meaningful conversation about it.
To finding common ground. In this case, the horror of the Sandy Hook incident.
Another response was, no matter what kind of a conversation you begin to have in this community or any community in the United States, the NRA will stop it dead in its tracks.
Peterson says Juneau should join what appears to be a groundswell toward a national dialogue on the issue.
I believe that you can have a meaningful conversation and a dialogue in this community about gun control. I think you have to try. You at least have to try.
But it's not likely to happen, at least not now, Sanford says.
You know, the fanaticals are going to be out there on either side of the story right now, as you can see, and I don't want to get into that. It's like church and state things, you know. If you get in the middle of it, then you have the Crusades going, and it's just a battle that you can't win.
Since Sandy Hook, assembly members have received a number of complaints from Juneau citizens about gun control, but it is not a local issue. In Alaska, guns are regulated by state law. Assemblyman Jesse Keel reminded his colleagues of that after Peterson requested the local conversation.
It certainly does not prevent a good conversation as a community. It also doesn't mean that we can't take a serious look at the steps that our community can take to be a healthier place, to deal better with those who suffer from mental illnesses. And I think that's an important part of the conversation.
Sanford says that's an easier conversation to have because mental health is already part of various city discussions and funding. City officials also have heard from citizens about a new indoor shooting range and gun store to be built on the corner of Crest Street and Yandugan Drive.
It's been very hot topic.
The Planning Commission recently granted Juneau Mercantile and Armory a conditional use permit for the 13,000-square-foot facility, where customers will be able to fire assault and other automatic weapons. City Planner Greg Cheney says he's had a number of complaints this week about the shooting range. But the main questions in granting the permit were such things as noise, parking, traffic, and whether the facility was in compliance with city regulations. The permit can be appealed within 20 days after it's signed by the city. That's January 3rd. But Cheney says you can't appeal because you don't like assault weapons. Appellants would have to base their argument on something within the CBJ comprehensive plan and land use code.
And none of those documents address the difference between like a hunter safety range or a range using automatic weapons. So the burden of proof for an appellant would be to state that the Planning Commission made a mistake based on the information that was presented to them. In particular, did the approval not comply with a comprehensive plan or some goal in the land use code or some statute?
During hearings on the shooting range, automatic weapons, school shootings, and gun violence were brought up. Gun range owners said customers renting automatic weapons would be trained by an NRA-certified instructor. Planning Commissioner Dan Miller is part owner of the facility. In Juneau, I'm Rosemarie Alexander.
You may have heard about whistleblowers at the Hanford Nuclear Reservation in Washington State. Some workers there have gone public with serious concerns about the cleanup of radioactive waste. But Northwest News Network correspondent Anna King found a different kind of whistleblower and filed this report.
Every Sunday evening at 7:15 sharp, Chris Doran welcomes several Hanford whistleblowers into his book-filled home. His wife Nancy brings out the tea and homemade baked goods. They sit and chat politely, and then they start to play. The Hanford whistleblowers have been playing recorders for 30 years. Doran says a former member's husband came up with a catchy band name only 15 years ago.
Recorders are a type of whistle. And so he thought, oh, it's the Hanford Whistleblowers, because most of the people in the group have had some connection directly or indirectly with Hanford's.
In fact, they're all science and engineering professionals and retirees from Richland. The recorders this group plays aren't like the smelly plastic loner one that I played in fourth grade. No, these are high-priced machines of beauty. Some of their recorders are as small as a Sharpie pen. Some are bigger than a fence post in your backyard. This low-toned behemoth is played by the petite Debbie Berkowitz.
I think we just do it because we enjoy each other. We have a lot of fun when we get together, and we enjoy Nancy's baking, which we have before we play every week. So it's just been a good time.
The recorder is deeply rooted in classical music. Many of the great composers originally wrote for the recorder. Think Telemann, Handel, and Vivaldi. Later, the music was switched for the louder flute. Doran says even after 30 years of playing the recorder,
it takes a long time to get better at it. And so it's an easy instrument to play badly, and it's a tough instrument to play well, so we're still working on it.
As I start to wrap up my chords and say my goodbyes, I casually mention I had a plastic recorder once and played the flute for almost half a year. The mild-mannered group suddenly turned on me. Here's Nancy Williver.
You play the flute and you play the recorder when you were in the fourth grade, so you're totally in. See you Sunday night.
Northwest News Corps.